Welcome. This is The Age of Gold by Edith Greenleaf Burnham. I'm your narrator, Ethan Sloan. Settle in. Rala Jogru. Glitter and grime on the morning of May 24, 1883, President Chester Arthur and Governor Grover Cleveland stood together at the foot of the Brooklyn Bridge and prepared to make history. The bridge had taken 14 years to build, had cost $15 million, and had killed at least 27 men, including its chief engineer, John Roebling, who died of tetanus after a ferry crushed his foot at the Fulton Street terminal during the early survey work. His son, Washington Roebling, took over the project, but was struck by decompression sickness while working in the pressurized caissons beneath the East River, and for years directed construction from a Columbia Heights apartment window through a telescope, his wife Emily carrying his instructions to the job site daily. When Arthur and Cleveland crossed that afternoon, the president and the governor of New York side by side on a bridge connecting Brooklyn and Manhattan, two cities not yet merged into one, they presided over what newspapers immediately called the eighth wonder of the world. By the end of that first day, 150,300 vehicles and pedestrians had crossed the span. Within a week, the number exceeded 1 million. New York in 1883 was a city of staggering contradiction. The bridge itself embodied the paradox, a cathedral of steel wire and granite towers rising over a river where ferrymen still rowed passengers for pennies, a marvel of engineering in a metropolis where one-third of the population lived without indoor plumbing. On the Lower East Side, 10 blocks east of City Hall, families of eight slept in two-room apartments without windows. The tenements of Mulberry Bend, the crook in Mulberry Street that reformer Jacob Race would photograph in the late 1880s, housed immigrants from Italy, Russia, Hungary, and Romania at densities that exceeded 10 people per acre, among the highest concentrations of humanity recorded anywhere on Earth. The men who had driven the caissons into the riverbed, who had strung the steel wire in the cold wind over the East River, who had baked the bricks and cut the granite that built the towers, most of them lived in those tenements, earning $1.50 to $2 and dero when work was steady. The word that best describes this America was coined not by a politician or an economist, but by a novelist. In 1873, Mark Twain and his neighbor Charles Dudley Warner published The Gilded Age, A Tale of Today, a satirical novel about land speculators, railroad promoters, and Washington corruption. The title was a deliberate echo of Shakespeare, a gilded age, an age that only appears golden, that has been coated with a thin layer of precious metal to disguise the base material beneath. Twain understood, with his Missourian's eye for pretension, that the America of the robber barons and the great fortunes was not a golden age, but a gilded one, brilliant on its surface, corrupt and suffering in its depths. The Brooklyn Bridge was real. So were the men who built it, sleeping six to a room in the streets below. This is the story of both Americas, the age that began roughly with the end of Reconstruction in 1877 and ended with the election of Theodore Roosevelt in 1900, sometimes dated more broadly from the close of the Civil War to the dawn of the new century, was an age of genuine transformation. The railroads that knit the continent together, the steel mills that produced the girders of an industrial civilization, the oil refineries that lit the lamps of the world and later powered its engines, these were real achievements, and they required real genius, real capital, and real labor. Cornelius Vanderbilt, John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, and J.P. Morgan were not simply thieves in top hats. They were builders on a scale that human history had rarely seen. But the methods by which they built and the conditions under which their workers labored and the political corruption that protected their enterprises from democratic accountability, these were also real, and they were the grime beneath the guilt. The Brooklyn Bridge stood. The tenements stood too. The Titans, 1865-1900. Chapter 1. Cornelius Vanderbilt, the Commodore and the Railroad Empire. Cornelius Vanderbilt was born on May 27, 1794, on Staten Island, New York, the fourth of nine children in a family of Dutch farmers who had been in the colony since the 17th century. His father, also Cornelius, operated the small ferry between Staten Island and Manhattan. The boy dropped